You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio today. Oh, well, I just a little housekeeping. Go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button, send shekels. Yes, of course. And also, of course, you go to nationalbugle.com and you click on the CoCertified logo and download that CoCertified app. It's great. And while you're there, you can see a lot of the great headlines that Mark Dankoff puts on. Don't you put on a lot of great headlines?
Yeah, I think not because I wrote the stuff, but some other very good people from a lot of great sources have put things on there. We try to keep our readers abreast of and our listeners abreast of what's out there that we think is particularly good.
Okay. Well, you know, we last time we started our show with Swinging to the Headlines. So, Mr. T, you're going to put on some music for swinging to the Headlines. Now, of course, last time the problem was he didn't put on swing music. He put on some German martial music, as I recall.
Das Panzerlied.
Yes. Das Panzerlied. You know, Mr. T, did you break out your Eddie Arnold record collection? That's what he was doing in the attic. Okay, he dragged it out of the attic. Well, you know something? That's okay. I think we'll go with that. At least he didn't go into the closet and drag out his Liberace collection. Liberace stays in the closet.
And no Elton John. I mean, this is strictly for those of us who are, shall we say, very far to the right politically and very straight in our personal lives and orientations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Liberace and Elton John, they stay in the closet, okay?
That's right. Welcome to the closet. And a matter of fact, your insurance company may come over and sanitize the closet before they renew your insurance policy.
I actually kind of like the way Liberace plays the piano and Elton John, too. But anyway, okay, swinging to the headlines with Eddie Arnold. What do we got on the big board?
Well, in terms of what we have on the big board, there's all kinds of stuff there. As we said at the top of the hour, if you look at war and foreign policy, Dr. Stephen Snigosky from the Council for the National Interest, he already posted it for the Council of the National Interest, has war for oil, why it is both fallacious and popular. He debunks that idea that we went to war in the Middle East for oil. He says, and I think he's correct, that we went to war for Israel and Zionism. Mm. The oil companies had nothing to do with it.
I think, real time, back in 2003, that it was reasonable for people to think that. But in retrospect, I think he's absolutely right. Yeah,
absolutely correct. Robert Fisk from the UK Independent has a marvelous story entitled America Grovels to Israel, the Way Supporters Fawned Over Saddam. Israel Shamir has a terrific article at the UNS Review entitled Venezuela, the New Syria. Jeff Girth and Tim Weiner from the New York Times, going all the way back to 1997, have a post that I put up because it's presently relevant. Colonel Douglas McGregor has been telling us recently about the relationship between arms dealers and NATO expansion. And the Girth Weiner piece from the New York Times is entitled Arms Makers See Bonanza in NATO Expansion. We learned there in 1997 that Bruce L. Jackson, the Lockheed Corporation Director of Strategic Planning by day, is wining and dining U.S. senators and foreign lobbyists by night, president of the U.S. Committee to Expand NATO. In more recent times, take a look at what Colonel Douglas McGregor has written on this, including the fact that I'm going to say it was 2-3 days ago. His was the lead story in antiwar.com on the subject of those who want to expand NATO maybe expanding their wallets at the same time. Phil Giraldi was on Scott Horton's radio show on antiwar.com to discuss the danger of war with Iran. We did that one. Interestingly enough, Representative Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, calls on a bipartisan coalition to work with Donald Trump and foreign wars. That comes to a Breitbart News.
Thank you very much, but it's a couple of years late.
Well, yes, better late than never, I suppose. But the things that I had to say to Representative Gahana, this is careful stuff, Ro. But the Israeli lobby and the Jewish-controlled MSM are neither Americans nor on the same team that we allegedly are.
And by the way, if people are wondering about that name, it is an Indian name. He is somebody of Indian, Asian Indian extraction.
Oh, okay. I thought he was from Nebraska. Sorry about that. Anyway, press television. Lockheed receives $2.5 billion to forward the U.S. Theater High Altitude Defense deal with Saudi Arabia. Look at the numbers in that one, folks. Stephen F. Cohen gives an interview to Lou Rockwell that we posted on Nuclear War on Russia, I believe that's the title of Dr. Cohen's new book, isn't it, Dr. Flattery?
War with Russia, which is based on his shows that he's been having the past, 5 years or so with John Batchelor. And by the way, Tuesday night, he had an excellent interview with John Batchelor, and we might want to talk about that later in the show.
Sure. Pat Buchanan tells us and Lou Rockwell that Trump should close NATO membership rolls. My comment on that on NationalBugle.com, our big board, is that that's great, Pat. It only is a prelude to the complete abandonment of NATO, putting it out of business permanently.
Absolutely.
That's my editorial remark that's attributed to me. I put up some stuff on South Africa, the coming revolution in South Africa, from Swedlanders.org. And then Ben Roche, or Roche, or Roche of Swedlanders, has a couple of videos on YouTube, part one of which we posted, the Civil Defense Initiative for South African Farmers. Folks, these Afrikaner farm families are not only being ripped off in regard to this ANC-dominated government's ongoing official land confiscation program, which has the communist hammer and sickle written all over it and stamped on it. But now these folks, for a period of years, have been the victims of all kinds of murderous black gangs and so forth, including a situation I'm aware of from Durban in 2012, where a couple of people at a German Lutheran parsonage that I was staying in, they had, prior to my arrival, been murdered by a black gang with machetes. They were, of course, Afrikaner farm family people. This is an ongoing crisis, and some of these folks are now trying to immigrate to the United States. I know something about that, so if you're interested in learning more, write me through markdankoff.com, and I can put you in touch with the 503 here in the States, here in Texas, that is trying to help some of these folks who are in a desperate situation. We are then looking at elections and politics. You'll notice at the top of that, Dr. Slattery's request, because he wanted to talk a little bit this morning about this whole business of Christian Zionist ecology, and about how people like Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo, who are both in this dispensational premillennial worship Israel category, are impacted by something called dispensationalism. I wrote a paper on that, a graduate paper at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia some years ago. That's an offshoot of Princeton, historically. And that paper is entitled A Historical Critique of Dispensationalism, Zionism, and Daniel's Prophecy of 70 Weeks. So we put that in there just because it pertains to the modern political scene as it relates to Christian Zionist support of Israel and the role that Christian Zionism has played in the minds of people like Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo. We learned from the Daily Caller and Peter Hassan that Beto O'Rourke paid his and his wife's company $110,000 out of campaign funds. Hopefully he didn't use any of that money to bail himself out of jail again on any drunken driving charges. Of course, we note once again this marvelous information from Chicago via CNN that the first African-American female lesbian in Chicago history to become mayor of Chicago will be one Lori Lightfoot. Not Lori Lightweight, but Lori Lightfoot. And I comment there that it's enough to make us miss Rahm Israel Emanuel, if that's possible. Phil Giraldi from this review, Jewish power rolls over Washington. The AIPAC conference is full of lies and liars. Dr. Giraldi forgot to mention a lot of money, too. Peter Van Buren from Russia Insider says that heads must roll. The Mueller report is over. Now is the time for the counterstroke. Let's go after those who created this whole Russiagate fraud to begin with, he says. That's an excellent summary of everything that has led up to the circumstance. The time is now there for the American people to insist that those who were involved in this story, who financed this story, and who were involved in creating a fraudulent story of a Trump-Putin conspiracy be made to answer for that publicly as well as legally. Then Joe Biden, we've been putting up a whole series of articles on Joe Biden, not all the stories of the ladies that have accusing Joe of getting too familiar with them, although I did find a good meme I want Dr. Slattery to post that shows Joe Biden getting very familiar with the Statue of Liberty under the title Biden 2020. But at any rate, these are stories that we posted about the whole issue of Biden and the Ukraine. RT is reporting, and we've posted a number of stories on this, Joe Biden's strong-arming in the Ukraine is coming back to haunt him. This is the real story on Biden, says RT. I thoroughly agree, and what we will discover through time is that the real story about the Biden links and the Biden family links to all kinds of questionable insider deals in the Ukraine is something that was covered up at the time that it should have been looked at intensely. We are now told in one of our posts today that the official investigation of this is already underway in terms of reopening the investigation. I was on Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's show yesterday out of the UK. That was entitled Adventures of Colonel Carl E. Dankoff. You can take a look at that if you so desire. Dr. Kaveh Farooq, the lecturer at the University of British Columbia, has a fascinating story up there on the whole issue. He co-authored this story on the 1941 invasion of Iran by both Britain and Russia. That's well worth your time in gaining a historical perspective. Edward Curtin from Russia Insider has a story entitled The Takeover of America by the CIA in the 1960s is the story of our times. If you take a look at that post, you'll discover that it's basically a review of a fine book, apparently, by Linda Pease, entitled A Lie Too Big to Fail, The Real History of the Assassination of Robert Kennedy. Now, of course, there have been all kinds of problems that have been exposed in the official story of what happened to Senator Kennedy that night in June of 1968 in the kitchen of the Empire Hotel in Los Angeles. This is apparently an excellent, excellent revisiting of all of that. The one thing that is missing, however, and is not a major indictment of the book, is that the Israeli angle on both the John and Robert Kennedy assassinations that is presented by Lawrence Guinol in the UNS Review seems to be missing, I say, in this otherwise excellent book. So we have a number of other posts on Joe Biden's Ukrainian nightmare, including one from The Hill. It is from John Solomon of The Hill that we learned that that closed probe of the Biden links to certain moneyed people in Ukraine is now being revived and reopened. That's extremely good news. Joe will wish that his alleged skirt-chasing activities and insinuations with women fade into the background or come to the fore, I should say, when this Ukrainian stuff becomes the real focus. Yeah. And lest we want to...
And I think really Victoria Nuland was the person who was pulling the strings, but Obama at least formally allowed Joe Biden just to be kind of the, what would you call it, the Governor General of Ukraine. I mean, he was the American Vice Counsel. What do you call it? But he was the person in charge.
He was the director of Vice in Ukraine. No, I don't. But his son Hunter Biden had all kinds of questionable things going on over there, as you quite rightly point out. Where Victoria Nuland was really the big person that was kind of setting up all this stuff and directing it. But she's a woman, so you can't go after her. So people are now going to go after Joe. And the interesting thing to me about Joe Biden, and I'm absolutely serious in this, I'm not being facetious. I met him on an occasion or two when I was in the U.S. Delaware U.S. Senate race in Delaware in 2000 against Tom Carper and Bill Roth, Senator Biden, and he's not somebody I have any regard for politically, but all of these stories that are now coming out on him with these various accusations have a Brett Kavanaugh ring to them in many respects. And I find myself wondering, who is it within the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party elite and the Marxist wing of the Democratic Party, increasingly becoming the Democratic Party, who wants old creepy Uncle Joe out of the way? I think we need to give Biden some slack on some of this. The timing on this is extremely suspicious. Mm-hmm. At the same time that Kamala Harris is alleged to have fingerprints on some of this. And at the same time, of course, CNN continues to rejoice over things like the election of a black lesbian in Chicago as mayor and so forth. Biden is too old and too white and too established for some people, apparently. And so maybe the way that you get rid of him in the Democratic Party as a 2020 contender is by floating the kind of thing, it seems to me, that was floating around in the Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings, as there was an attempt by this same element, of course, to deep six a Republican, Donald Trump Republican nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States. So on the whole issue of Senator Biden stealing women's hair and getting a little creepy as he puts his arm around a few people in photo ops and so forth, I think we ought to reserve some judgment on that, because there's enough we can get Joe on that's legitimate, especially in Ukraine and some of his idiotic political views, without sinking into the sewer necessarily. And it's ironic that it's precisely in his own party where I believe a lot of these so-called accusations are coming from. Right. One other thing, and then we can start really getting into the show. Mm-hmm. Russia Insider has posted an excerpt of a book. Charles Bousman of Russia Insider was kind enough to do this. I hope I don't butcher the names of these fine fellows. Mikhail Tumshis and Vadim Zolotarev from Russia Insider. And it's entitled Jews in the KGB 1936 to 38. A groundbreaking book provides new facts. So that's Big Board 2 at nationalbugle.com. And take a look at that when you have the opportunity to do so. And I guess we're ready to really jump into the airplane about now.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. T. We have just a couple minutes before the first break, but let's at least introduce a topic of discussion. And there is a politician in Israel, and his name is Moshe Feiglin. And he's been around for a while. Well, I mean, he's relatively young at 56. I think he came in third place in the last election for leader of the Likud party. Now, he's apparently ditched the Likud and is started his own party, which doesn't currently have any members of in the Knesset. But he's somebody of, you know, who's got a relatively high profile in Israel, and he has called for rebuilding the temple, rebuilding, you know, the third temple, which would require demolishing the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Dome of the Rock, and which would be a big deal. Now, there are people, I think Adam Green, who does a YouTube news show called No More News, is pretty interesting, and he's trying to tie this in with the Christian Zionist religious views of Mike Pompeo and others in America, and also to developments in you know, in Venezuela, where I guess you could conceivably secure an alternative supply of oil that would be useful if there is a general Middle Eastern war where there's going to be you know, a shutdown of the Straits of Hormuz by Iran. So you know, it could be a war that Iran's involved in. So we're about to come up on the break, but after the break, because you have much more expertise than I do in eschatology and you know, these issues, I'd like your opinion of this as soon as we come back from the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. So, regarding that question of prophecy and the building a new temple and war in Iran and oil in Venezuela, what do you make of all of this?
Well, I think it's important for those of us who get into the question of Christian Zionism and how much it is a departure from historic Christian theology and historic Christian eschatology to get into the history of this somewhat. That's the reason why we posted my paper from my days at Westminster Theological Seminary, where I have a degree there yet to finish in terms of one more language exam and my thesis. But that article is entitled A Historical Critique of Dispensationalism, Zionism, and Daniel's Prophecy of 70 Weeks, which actually encompasses 490 years, 70 times 7, and that information is found in the final verses of Daniel chapter 9. Now, the important thing, I think, so we don't get bogged down in all of these details, either historically or more importantly, if I start talking about the exegesis of Daniel 9, start getting into original languages and all other stuff, I will simply obfuscate the issue. But suffice it to say that when we examine this thing historically, Christian Zionism basically comes to us via the 19th century. Don't let anyone sell you on the idea that Christians throughout history have believed in this so-called parenthesis theory found in Daniel chapter 9, where supposedly the first 483 years of that prophecy, or 69 times 7, were already fulfilled prior to and at the second coming of Jesus Christ, but that according to this parenthesis idea, 2,000 years plus would be allowed to pass before the prophetic clock would start ticking again, and we would then come to a future time when the 70th week, the last 7 years of world history, according to this view, wouldn't begin. And either at the beginning of this last seven-year period or at the midway point of this seven-year period of time, with most of these theories, some argue it is right after this seven-year period of time passes, that we have the rapture, the pre-tribulational, mid-tribulational, or post-tribulational rapture. For those of you not familiar with this lingo, you know, if you watch John Hagee of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, arguably the most prominent Christian Zionist in the world that I'm aware of in terms of mass media, he's always talking about this sort of thing and our love for Israel and the rebuilding of a literal third temple in Jerusalem and continuing to expand Israel's borders. It's interestingly enough that this guy has even been named in the past the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith's Man of the Year. He's had such luminaries as Menachem Begin in his, but in years gone by. He is really, in my view, an extension of the propaganda wing of the Israeli government for all practical intents and purposes. The Wall Street Journal tried to get into the actual facts of his financial empire as it relates to all of his 501c3 organizations and his personal fortune. 501c3 law, at least when you're pro-Israel and pro-Zionist, as Dr. Hagee or Pat Hagee is, enables you to avoid a lot of scrutiny in terms of where this money is coming from and what the real identity of that money might happen to be. Open a 501c3, of course, that is anti-Zionist and is dedicated to helping Palestinians, and you might discover that if you're a Christian pastor and you have a pro-Palestinian figure in your pulpit, that your 501c3 will probably be shut down the next day. That's my own editorialization of what's really going on in this country. But the eschatology, the doctrine of the second coming, eschaton or eschatology, this idea of coming, or you know, in this case, the future coming of Jesus Christ. What is the eschaton, the second coming? People have speculated about this for 2,000 years, certainly. I certainly believe in a literal second coming of Jesus Christ as a Lutheran pastor. But this whole question, again, of a parenthesis theory that between the first 69 or 483 years of the Daniel 9 prophecy and the last, the 70th week, or the last 7 years in that sequence, this parenthesis theory originated in the 19th century. We go back to John Nelson Darby of the Plymouth Brethren, and there's strong circumstantial evidence. Dave McPhee talked about this years ago, has written about it. There's strong circumstantial evidence that Darby's ideas about the second coming of Christ were derived from a Scottish ecstatic prophetess by the name of Margaret MacDonald, who shared these visions with Darby that she had had that were governing all of this stuff. Darby then began to put this in a little more systematic a form in terms of his own thought, then be arguably left to Cyrus Ingerson Schofield to develop in the 19th century a more systematic development of these.
Of the famous for the Schofield
Reference Bible, exactly. And all the notes in that Reference Bible are out of the John Nelson Darby, Margaret MacDonald vein of thought.
Okay, and we're going to have to get back to that on the other side of the break.
Sure.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so please continue. We were looking at the Scofield Reference Bible and whatnot.
Right, that's just the Scofield Reference Bible was actually published by the Oxford University Press in England, which of course was owned, as I understand it, by the Rothschilds. That's rather suggestive. After the war between the states in the United States, the Scofield Reference Bible became especially significant in bringing the dispensational premillennial eschatological point of view into the lives of millions of Protestant evangelicals from that point onward. In the late, there were two other figures I'll mention quickly. In the early 20th century, there was a fellow by the name of Clarence Larkin who wrote a big a book on dispensationalism. I think I make reference to it in my graduate paper, which we posted on the big board from Westminster Seminary. Larkin had a book on dispensationalism for the average person that even included all these charts and pictures of dragons and the beast and the false prophet and things like this. But in the late 19th century is perhaps the most overlooked figure in all of this, who is particularly critical in terms of his impact on the Mike Pompeos and the Mike Pences and the John Hagees and the Pat Robertsons and the Jerry Falwells of today, who may or may not even know his name. In the late 19th century, there was a rabid Christian Zionist. He was a Chicago banker whose name was William E. Gladstone. Remember that name.
William E. Gladstone.
William E. Gladstone. I have a graduate paper published through the Evangelical Theological Society, which I belong to. I don't have it in front of me here. I don't remember the author's name, but I have copies of it. I can even mail one to you, Dr. Slattery, through snail mail. William E. Gladstone was arguably, and this paper attempts to argue that I just cited, was arguably even more important in the 19th century than Theodore Herzl as being the ultimate father of modern Zionism. And this paper attempts to demonstrate how William E. Gladstone, who became a major driving force in the financing and the ultimate development of many of the dispensational Christian colleges and graduate schools and seminaries around the country, also in his role as a Chicago banker, had all kinds of connections to secular Jewish Zionists. He had all kinds of connections to heads of state. He had all kinds of connections to the movers and shakers that could be and were used to help create the steam for the movement that was being launched by Herzl in terms of his first Congress on Zionism, or his first World Congress of Zionism in the late 19th century. Remember the name William E. Gladstone, because very little research has been done on a man far more significant than anyone realizes today in terms of the modern Christian Zionist movement. And the modern Christian Zionist movement, of course, that we have come to know through Billy Graham was a Christian Zionist, although it was less obvious than with some of these other people. Franklin Graham, certainly, although it's less obvious than, say, with John Hagee of Cornerstone Church, Pat Robertson, the late Jerry Falwell, Hal Lindsey, who wrote the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, I believe, which was published in paperback in 1970. It sold zillions of copies, and it popularized even further for the average person the pro-Israel dispensational understanding of redemptive history and prophetic history and eschatological history without any of the reference to the historical sources and origins that I have cited. And that's significant because many people who read that paperback and became converted to its point of view believe that that has been the view from the time of the Apostolic Church onward. And that's simply not the case when you start studying this historically. And when we examine this whole leap from Darby and Margaret MacDonald to Cyrus Ingerson Schofield and his Schofield reference Bible, to William E. Blackstone, and to Clarence Larkin in the early 20th century. And then we start moving forward, of course, to these modern politicians and media moguls and Christian Zionist media moguls like John Hagee, who pushed this big time into the homes of millions of people. There are zillions of dollars behind it. And this begins to uncover an alliance between a very sad and tragic alliance between a largely duped Christian right in the United States that believes that it has a prophetic duty to follow Hagee and Netanyahu and company into hell if need be, but it also ignores everything that the secular state of Israel has done since its inception, founded in terrorism, founded in murder, founded in deception, and founded in espionage operations and false flag operations directed at the United States. Mm-hmm. The Levant Affair, the USS attack, the Kennedy assassination, the Pollard spy case, 9/11, just to mention a few. And this brings us now to Pence and Pompeo, doesn't it? And all of this renewed talk, along with a few lunatics in the settler movement and in the Third Temple movement in Israel, along with a lot of well-financed Christian Zionist lunatics in the United States and Europe, to get rid of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and to replace it with a Third Temple, a third Jewish temple, which in fact 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, St. Paul mentions it. St. Paul tells us that Antichrist will sit on the seat of that temple. That's conveniently something that these Christian Zionists don't exactly grasp. But nonetheless, this Third Temple movement, along with the continued theft of Palestinian lands and the occupied territories, the ongoing theft of East Jerusalem, what will probably end up being the annexation of all of the West Bank, probably ultimately the annexation of Gaza, Israel, with Trump's help, recognizing this madness, has already annexed Syria's Golan Heights against international law. But I think this Third Temple movement is especially critical in bringing this ugly situation to the absolute boiling point. And, of course, Pence and Pompeo, as my friend Dr. Philip Giraldi outlines of the Council of the National Interest, they're motivated by this kind of eschatology. These guys are particularly dangerous in the offices that they hold in terms of bringing the theology of John Nelson Darby and Margaret MacDonald and Cyrus Ingerson Schofield and William E. Blackstone and Clarence Larkin and Hal Lindsey and John Hagee into officially being the foreign policy of the United States, mm-hmm. with all of the frightening implications. And I think the listeners will understand that these people are going to get us and are in the process of getting us into a third world war.
Okay, so if you look at who's running American foreign policy today, you know, Donald Trump has his own views, and occasionally his views seem to hold sway, but not recently. I mean, they did last summer when he had meetings with Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, but really since then, they haven't held sway, and he's been overruled. He's been overruled in his second meeting with Kim Jong-un, where he wanted to cut a deal, and Bolton and Pompeo, but particularly Bolton, I think, but both of them overruled him, and then he wanted not to impose new sanctions on North Korea, and the Treasury Department did, and then he tried to undo them, and then they undid him. So who is running it? So we've got Pence. I wouldn't say he's running it, but he does inject himself into it from time to time, and especially regarding Venezuela. And then, of course, he was at AIPAC recently. You've got Pompeo, obviously, as Secretary of State. But on the other hand, you've got Bolton, who's only 1/8 Jewish, but he doesn't seem to have any connection to Christian Zionism, and seems to have a very, very tight connection to the overwhelmingly Jewish neocon movement. You've got Elliot Abrams, who all of a sudden is back, who is Jewish, and you know, he's married. Who is he married to? He is somebody. Is he Potteritz's son-in-law or something? He's got.
Yes, I believe that's the connection. Norman Potteritz's son-in-law. That's it.
Right, and that's brother-in-law to the other Potteritz who's around today. So how do Pence and Pompeo fit into this foreign policy? And of course they would be pretty much working in common cause with each other, but really, what's your view on who's running American foreign policy and to what end?
Well, I think Israel and the neoconservatives and the Christian Zionists are running our foreign policy. The Christian Zionists, to the extent that they're right in there with their counterparts in the Democratic Party, who are well to their left on most issues, who nonetheless support the Zionist state. And as I point out in my grad paper that we posted on the big board, this whole alliance for Israel has a lot of very unlikely characters in it, ranging from the queer Jewish Democrat Congressman Barney Frank, mm-hmm. All the way over to John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio.
How about people like Eric Swalwell from California? You don't hear him talk so much about Israel, but he is so much on the whole Russia thing, which ties into it as well.
This ties into it as well. If you go back into Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, his interpretation of the, I believe it's the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel, where this great king of the north attacks Israel, Hal Lindsey puts Russia in that role. So there's another piece of the puzzle where all of this anti-Putin, anti-Russian nonsense that is out there, promoted by the globalist far left, which hates Putin's renaissance of Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Christian culture in Russia. They hate the fact that he's not going along with the worst excesses of the LGBTI or LGBTQ movement. Russia is trying to reverse their terrible abortion policies to encourage Russian peoples to have more children. The globalist left hates all that. At the same time, of course, that Vladimir Putin seems to stand in the way of the globalist dream of a new world order based in a Zionist-run world government. And at the same time, of course, those on the far right in the United States who believe in this Christian Zionist orientation, this dispensationalist Christian Zionist orientation, also dislike Putin and Russia because they perceive him, especially with his activities in Syria, as being against their beloved Zionist brethren. And Netanyahu and all of these settler crackpots and these rebuild the Third Temple crackpots. So that's another angle on this. And the long and the short of it is, when we really examine it, this is where you have people like Franklin Graham and Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo with their ideas about Christian duty, evangelical Christian duty, to support the Zionist state of Israel based upon this eschatology we've been talking about on this show. And then you have, of course, the secular Zionist Jews who have no time for that nonsense, except it fits into their game plan in the fact that all of this money, staggering sums of money, coming from the Christian Zionist community are being skillfully funneled to the Zionist state of Israel and supporting everything they do. The late Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein, we talked about that on another show, the late chairman of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, is a classic example of this. His entire mission in supporting the Zionist state was to get money out of Protestant evangelical churches of every stripe. The dispensationalist oriented fundamentalist Baptist churches and Bible churches, all the way over to the Pentecostal groups that are still pro Christian Zionist in their understanding of prophecy. He would appear in these places, the money would come flowing in, and he, along with John Hagee, was keeping this well-oiled Christian Zionist machine with their Benjamins, as Ilhan Omar would put it, their Benjamins being piped straight into the powers that be.
So we've got a few minutes before the next break, but how much weight should we put on this when we're examining developments in the Middle East, especially, you know, well, we've got the reversal of years of at least formal American policy of not recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan, but you know, the prospects of a greater war in, you know, a general war in the Middle East, bringing in Iran, and then the connection with Venezuela, the efforts toppling Venezuela. Is this reading too much into it?
Not at all. I think this is all a part of the game plan. Hal Lindsey mentioned Iran in his book in 1970, The Late Great Planet Earth. And I think what we have is a situation in Iran and in Venezuela, in the Ukraine, on Eastern Europe, the buildup on Putin's border, as well as the attempt to beef up an American and NATO presence in a southern underbelly in places like Ukraine and Georgia, and basically putting a stamp of American and Trumpian imprimatur on Israel's theft of the Golan Heights, Israel's theft of East Jerusalem, Israel's theft of the occupied territories, violating international law and violating what was at least an official past American support of international law at those points, for example, with UN Resolution 242. So I think Trump, between his New York Jewish real estate connections and his own son-in-law, Jared Kushner, the Orthodox Jew, who is so buddy-buddy with Netanyahu, and then Trump keeping the Christian right in his own political base appeased, between the Christian Zionist pro-Israel perspective and giving them presumably what they want and defunding Planned Parenthood clinics, which I certainly support, by the way, and so forth. This has a political dimension. The president knows these people are out there. He knows how significant they are in his own party. He cannot win without them. And it dovetails with what is apparently his own belief, perhaps influenced by his son-in-law and others, and Pence and Pompeo and loons like this, that by George, we are doing God's will in letting Israel do all of this stuff. And this is where I have argued and some other evangelical.
Seconds.
Sure. There's a link between American exceptionalism and empire and Israeli exceptionalism going on at this point.
Okay, thank you. We'll be right back after the break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so in these last few minutes, I mentioned earlier that Professor Stephen F. Cohen was on the John Batchelor Show on Tuesday night. You can go to, just look up John Batchelor Show. It's on Audio Boom, I think. You can get his podcasts of it. At any rate, and I'll try to put that up on nationalbugle.com. So Professor Cohen made the point that, okay, so the Mueller report has been finished, and at least according to this four-page summary of it by Bob Barr, well, it hardly, it might absolve Trump from any collusion with Russian hacking of the election, but it still contends that there was, like, Russian interference in the election, that, as if this was a thing. And, of course, it's not a thing, and Professor Cohen, it's well worth the 40 minutes to listen to that, because he completely debunks the idea that Russian interference and hacking of the election was a thing. But the Mueller probe maintains this, so we still have this Russia hoax, the real Russia hoax. Maybe Trump is going to get, he's off the hook for it, but it is still a thing. And a big hunk of the Russia hoax, I mean, part of it was going after Donald Trump, but a big part of it was going after Vladimir Putin, making sure that he's going to be an enemy and that our countries can't cooperate in the best interest of both of us. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that Stephen F. Cohen is entirely on target. We just posted on the big board under War and Foreign Policy his Russia Gate or Intel Gate ? That is on lewrockwell.com. And this is an excerpt from the book, the latest book that Cohen has written on this, which I understand you have, Dr. Slattery.
Yes,
so that'll give you a preview of what it is that you're about to read in its entirety. The excerpt where they got this information is found at the bottom of the page. But essentially, I think that this is entirely correct. And this gets back to our earlier questions. If Israel and Jewish finance are truly running American foreign policy and the American national security establishment in the most significant way, where do we see their interests coinciding with what's happening in the policies of the Trump administration? Well, obviously, we've talked about Israel itself. We've talked about the demonization of Putin a little bit, the obvious desire to attack Iran, all of the false information that mainstream media has been putting out on the war in Syria and the reasons for the war in Syria and who the good guys and the bad guys are. That is so absolutely reprehensible in terms of the lies that have been told that it's difficult to know where to begin there. We've talked about it before. It is the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia importing and arming and financing Sunni Wahhabic extremists to overthrow an Assad regime that is Alawite, Shia Muslim, and that has a very good relationship not simply with Iran and with Hezbollah in Lebanon, but is also favored by 2 million Syrian Christians in the country. That's conveniently left out by mainstream media. But the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia are supporting the biggest murderers, arguably, in the face of the earth in what has been going on in Syria. It's been despicable policy. There is, of course, then the question of Venezuela. We'll just throw that one in. Elliot Abrams, research his background. This guy is the neocon Jewish Zionist link, not only to what is going on in Venezuela, but he keeps cropping up as a creep, both in the Iran-Contra affair and things related to what has been going on in Palestine. Mm-hmm. This guy has a very long history of being one of the worst people at the center.
He's a creep.
But yep. he links up to all of these other people that we all talk about and have talked about for a long time.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining the show and all the work you do on nationalbugle.com.
Well, very good. I hope we wrapped it up well. We just had a few minutes to discuss a very important topic there. But we'll get at that again, and I'm always glad to be here, sir.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT.